The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Let's have a Friday, everybody. Peter Burns in here for Paul Feinbaum. One workday away for him. Us headed out to Hoover, Alabama, the Winfrey Hotel. 46 hours of coverage for SEC Media Days, and we are fired up for it. As always, you can follow me on Twitter, at Peter Burns, ESPN, as we get ready for that SEC kickoff. We have a great show. As always, your phone calls. 855-242-PAUL is the number. That's 855-242-7285. And the thing I want you guys to be thinking about today as I was getting ready for the show is a couple of things. But one, if you're a fan of Alabama, if you're a fan of Auburn, if you're a fan of whoever, any of the 14 schools here, and you listen here on the Feinbaum Show, what do you really want to hear your coach say, right? Like, if we gave him the truth serum, and we said, all right, here's the deal. You can't just filibuster and say, all right, yeah, but our guys look good in spring. I feel good about where we're at. These recruits are going to be great. Outside the cliches, right? If you gave them truth serum and they actually had to tell you exactly what they were thinking and answer every single one of your questions and the media questions that are going to come up next week in Hoover, what would you want them to say? What do you want to learn about your team this upcoming week? So, get on the phone lines right now. We'll take those phone calls, 855-242-PAUL. That's 855-242-7285. We have a jam-packed show as far as guest-wise. Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, one of the best in the business, gives us his lay of the land of what it's going to be like having Media Days back here in about 15 minutes. Ross Dellinger, who's been just crushing everything over at Sports Illustrated when it comes to name, image, and likeness. And want to get his thoughts on everything that Mark Emmert said yesterday. In case you missed it, Emmert basically said that the NCAA was going to take a knee, and that, you know, they were starting to, quote, kind of, you know, question how much regulation should be involved with college athletics. I've got some thoughts on that. We'll hear from Ross Dellinger at 3:30 Eastern on that. Coach Gene Chizik going to be part of our coverage over at Media Days. He's going to join us in the second hour. And then my partner in crime all next week on SEC This Morning, Chris Doering, former Florida great, will join us in that hour. Then we'll go Lolo Jones, LSU track star, going to be the top of the last hour. And then Josh Pate, who does a great job over there 24-7, and his late kick stuff is going to be a late addition here to this show. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. And I got to start with this, and Jake, I'm going to bring you in here over in Bristol, Connecticut on this discussion, is that I'm not a big rewatch television guy, but I found myself rewatching Ted Lasso over the last day or two, and it's actually a game changer. Like,
it's funny you say that, because I actually just did the same thing 2 days ago. It's very easy to consume.
You know, and it's one of those things, if you haven't had a chance to do it, you have to. I'm not sure, like, if anybody tells you that Ted Lasso season one did not, it was okay, I kind of question if you should be friends with them any longer. Like, seriously, like, it's almost kind of like a relationship killer with friends if they told me, I didn't think it was that good. Because I fully went in after all this summer. People were talking about, oh my gosh, you got to watch Ted Lasso. It's great. It's this and that. And it almost got to the point where so many people, Jake, had told me to watch the show that I almost purposely did not want to watch it, right? It felt like, dude, there's no way it could live up to the hype. And yet it did.
I'm with you,
man. And so you've watched it one, and you're rewatching it again, correct?
Yes, I watched the whole thing. I think I consumed it in a single day, and it turned into one of those shows where if you don't like it or if you have something bad to say about Ted Lasso, I think it's more of a character flaw in yourself.
That's right. It's a you issue. It is not on the show. It is a you issue that you need to redefine what you think of in life. And that's, I got to be honest with you, I'm a little worried about Ted Lasso season two. Okay, because I'm thinking it was so good on season one. In fact, I almost want them to call it something completely different, because I don't want to, like, muddy up the waters on how good season one was. So I'm just like, there's no way that anything in season two can live up to the hype.
What would you call it?
I don't know. Whatever the team is called, what I don't even remember the team that they are. I'm just literally watched an episode 20 minutes ago. And that goes to show you, like, it's not even like a soccer show. But it got me thinking about this upcoming week. And, you know, is there that guy? Is there kind of that personality that's going to stand out after this week? Because, you know, we don't have Steve Spurrier in this conference anymore, who, you know, loved to take jabs. You know, Les Miles would always kind of wander aimlessly for about 15 minutes about God knows what on his, you know, his introduction podium speech over at SEC Media Days. You know, I'm wondering if that person cuts through. Elijah Drinkwitz, the head coach, Coach Drink at Missouri, I think is the closest thing to Ted Lasso we have in this conference. Like, he just seems to get it, always in a good mood. But I just put out my SEC pre-media days podium power rankings. This is the things you do when you're figuring out what you're going to talk about in the middle of July. I'm the sick guy that kind of does that. And I had Coach Drink actually as number one on my list. I like, out of all the coaches, when we're packing up our stuff on SEC Network, when we're packing up all of our stuff for radio, like, what coach will we have been entertained by the most, will learn the most about their team, and it's going to kind of educate us on what this last year and a half was about? I actually had Coach Drink number one, Missouri head coach as number one. Number two, Nick Saban. Had Saban high on that list as well. I'll go through the rest of my rankings coming up. If you want to rank them as well, too, you can give me a call, 855-242-PAUL. That's 855-242-7285. And also, I had a great conversation yesterday about what unusual matchups you would like to see in college football. So we saw Tennessee-Syracuse get added, Florida-UCF probably any day. We'll take those phone calls as well. Brandon is in Georgia. Thanks for joining Peter Burns in on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Brandon?
Man, not too much. How are you, sir?
Man, I am. I'm ready for the weekend. I'm ready for Monday at 8 a.m. where we kick off media days, my friend.
I hear you, man. You know, I'm kind of I'm a Kentuckian, but I'm a lost Kentuckian. I was living in Savannah, Georgia, for 4 years, and I met a Georgia peach who has kept me in Georgia for about 10 years now. But I was actually just listening. I wasn't listening to your live show right now. I was actually just listening on Spotify of your show yesterday, and I'm glad this topic is still going. I kind of had a good one. I don't know if it would be lopsided at all, but as far as a diehard University of Kentucky fan, I was thinking, you know, Kentucky, I had a thought Kentucky-Wisconsin would be good. But then I started thinking about it more. And what about, obviously, Kentucky-Ohio State? I would love to play them first game of the year in something like a kickoff classic, something like that. Yep. I wouldn't be scared, and I think it would be great for our program. But I started thinking about it even more. And with the recruiting battles, I know we, you know, recruit a lot against Ohio State and all that, but especially since they just got our DBs coach, Klink, what do you think about a Kentucky-Michigan game?
What was so funny is as you were saying that, I thought, obviously, Kentucky-Ohio State would be fun to watch. Might lean a little bit more towards Ohio State just because of the amount of recruiting that they've had. But I love the idea of having Coach Stoops right in that neck of the woods, because he's done a fantastic job of kind of recruiting that area, of finding and playing Michigan. It would be unique setup. It would be something different, something especially, like, you know, to do it in Ann Arbor would be awesome, right? Like, it's even one of those deals where it's like, listen, I want to play. And here's the deal with Coach Stoops. I honestly don't think he's scared of anybody. I mean, that's what I love about Mark Stoops. I told this story yesterday, if you were listening to us, that, you know, I remember 2018, the year they were winning 10 games, he came out and he was upset at media days because nobody was giving his team this, you know, credit that they thought or he thought they deserved. And one of the reasons why I was so bullish on the Wildcats, and sure enough, they end up winning 10 games this season. I would love that, and I'd also just like to see some random trip where they go out to Hawaii. Like Kentucky, Hawaii would be a fantastic one, Brandon.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Yeah, that's good too. But I mean, I know the Ohio State game. I mean, I'm not one of them fans. I'm realistic. I know the way that would probably go. But to say we couldn't maybe keep it pretty entertaining on the as long as it's maybe the first game of the year, something like that, that'd be great. But Kentucky, Michigan, I don't think you could tell me, and I believe it, that Kentucky would have no shot against Michigan even this year. I think UK could definitely, even in Ann Arbor, I'd love to play the game in Ann Arbor, and I think if we don't come out on top, I think we give them all they want. And I'm used to not getting a lot of spec, honestly, from Kentucky football. I'm very used to that. We never get really much, and I'm fine with that. And I know Stoops is good with that, other than, you know, he does make some appearances where he gets a little frustrated with it. But
yeah.
At the same time, you know, I think we could, not going to say easily, but I think we could finish it out number two in the SEC East this year. I don't think that's a long shot. I'm more optimistic, but I mean, we've been giving Florida all they wanted and should have beat them a lot more than we have the last, what do you say, 5 years. We've had some pretty dumb play calls by our staff to where we, you know, they won by a game in the end zone in the last few seconds. Where
Brandon, we may have lost you there, but I appreciate the phone call. And I think you're right. When I talk to people close to the Kentucky program today, in fact, just trying to do my research, getting ready for the week, they really like this team. They said Wendell Robinson, the transfer wide receiver, is just, I mean, just they think that he may be one of the best skill position players in the country, not just in the SEC. Chris Rodriguez might be the best running back in the conference coming up this season. It's a matter of, like with so many other teams, can you get the quarterback situation right? Is it going to be Joey Gatewood, the kid that had transferred from Auburn? They got a kid that from that Penn State that has some swagger to him that may end up winning that job. Like with what, 9 or 10 other teams here in this conference, can you get the QB position 100% right? We'll take more of your phone calls. Tony Barnhart's going to be joining us as well. It's Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We'll be coming out to SEC Media Days on Monday from Hoover, Alabama. I am Peter Burns, host of the SEC Network and host of the Feinbaum radio program today. 855-242-PAUL is the number. We'll go to Paul in Alabama in a couple of moments. But first, I want to visit with my good friend, Mr. College Football himself, Tony Barnhart. TB, I would imagine what this is the 95th SEC Media Days you have attended and been able to be the most important person at. Is that correct?
Only the 94th. Only the 94th. 95th will be next year, yeah.
I knew the number was close, but I didn't know which one. Hey, you know, what do we miss? What did we miss last year that you're looking forward to having this year over at kickoff in Media Days on Monday?
Well, it's just seeing everybody, okay? It's having, you know, Nick Saban walk by and you get a chance to speak to him for just a little bit, or some of the other coaches that walk by. And just seeing all your colleagues in the media and catching up on stuff. It is a kickoff to the college football season. And we know when we get to Hoover, the football season is not too far away. So it's more the human relationship, the one-on-one stuff that you get to do that we missed last year.
And I never understood how important that was, Tony, until we didn't have it. Because I felt last year we were so lost about the teams and the players and not really knowing those storylines and talking to the coaches that to be able to have that interaction is huge. And, you know, I joked around about how many you've done, but you've done them for so long. You've seen everything. You know, how much do you really, you know, What are some stories or anything in the past that, you know, your favorite things from Media Days or things that you really have learned at a specific Media Day that really paid off during the season? Anything come to mind?
Well, it's the stories. It's the fact that Nick Saban, when he was at LSU, was up at the podium in the main interview room, and his dog got out of the hotel room and walked down to his area and found him. Okay, it's. It's Philip Fulmer. One year he's there and he gets served a subpoena, and another year he's not there and does it on a conference call on a speaker box. And everybody's sitting around a speaker box listening to him. It's Steve Spurrier calling out Commissioner Kramer. So somebody asked Steve Spurrier, well, "Why don't we have a playoff?" He said, "Well, it's Commissioner back there. Why don't you ask him?" That's why we don't have a playoff. So he calls out the commissioner, and then there's the year that Spurrier leads. Who did he leave? Left Tim Tebow off first team SEC, and then tried to blame it on his PR guy. I mean, it's stuff like that. Unfortunately, we're not going to have it here, but it's the Alabama folks that show up on the day that it doesn't matter who the Alabama head coach is. Whoever it is, it was the same with Gene Stallings. It was the same with everybody. They show up in that lobby just to get a glimpse of the head coach and the players from the University of Alabama. It's great, great stuff.
Tony Barnhart joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. All right, so if I had administered truth serum to any of the coaches, and I can say, Tony, you got one vial, right? You can only get the full, unadulterated, unfiltered, everything you ask, they will give you 100% straight answer on, no coach speak. But you can only give it to one coach at Media Days because you want to learn about his team. Who are you giving it to?
I'm giving it to Saban, Nick Saban. You kidding me? Because he's the guy who's always seems to be a step ahead or two steps ahead of everybody. And what you do is you give him the truth serum and you say, okay, Coach Saban, what's next? I mean, I asked him that question many, many years ago sitting in his office. He looked me straight in the eye. I said, so what's next? He looked at me and said, oh, we got to start scoring some more points. And I went, really? And he said, yeah. If they want to play the game that way, that's the way we're going to play it. And next thing you know, Lane Kiffin's there and they're off and running.
And they did indeed score more points, and that's why they have a little bit more titles. And I'm surprised, Tony, you know, as close as you follow Georgia football and how well connected you are to that program, that it wouldn't have been Kirby, because I feel like Saban doesn't have question marks coming in, but Kirby does.
Kirby's question mark is, can you finally get over the hump? You mm-hmm. put your team in position to win. A wise coach once told me that the job of the head coach is to consistently put his team in a position to win. Well, he's done that. But unfortunately, his team has not found a way to win the game that would put them over the hump. Is this going to be the year they do it? Well, by all accounts, they are talented enough to do it. That's not the issue. And the question is, can they beat Clemson in that opener? And if they do, I think the season sets up very nicely for them.
If they don't, what happens?
Yeah. If they don't, then they've got to run the table and beat Alabama and Atlanta. And of course, I guess I'm making a big assumption there that Alabama will be in Atlanta, because I think that's where they'll be. But, yeah, if you beat Clemson, I still think, Peter, you've got some margin for error if you're Georgia. I think you can actually get to the SEC championship game with the one loss to Clemson if it's a good game, with the win over Clemson. If you get to Atlanta with a win over Clemson, then I think you can lose the SEC championship game and still get in. Now, I know a lot of people that completely disagree with that point of view, but I still – you know, we have to see what happens to Oklahoma and Ohio State. But if Georgia beats Clemson, I think they've got a lot of margin for error there.
It provides them a mulligan, right? Like, you know, and it's a situation where if you lose, as long as it's not a 3-4 touchdown loss, because, I mean, listen, we've seen other teams in the past lose pretty substantial games to not nearly as good of opponents as Clemson. And as long as those games were close, you were still in the college football playoff landscape, but it might bode well. Last question for you. We've got 8 coaches that are going to be making their debut over on Monday, because remember last year we didn't have SEC kickoff/media days. Which one of the new guys are you looking forward most to learning a little bit more about?
Brian Harsin. I mean, we know what Brian Harsin did at Boise State and what a track record he has, but it's always interesting to me for a coach to come into this culture and address the media day for the first time, because, you know, this ain't Boise State. Okay. This ain't the Mountain West.
Yeah.
This is something completely different. And how he handles it and how he handles the questions is something I'm looking forward to.
Can't wait for it. Can't wait to see you over on Monday. And can't wait to get you back on SEC this morning. We'll do it soon, all right?
All right, TB. Take care.
There it is. The man, the myth, the legend, Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. I can't imagine just everybody around a conference call the year Philip Fulmer had gotten subpoenaed, just seeing Saban's dog out there, just the chaos. So you never know what's going to happen. Your phone calls coming up. Also, we'll talk to Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Peter Burns sitting in for Paul Feinbaum. 855-242-PAUL is the number. That's 855-242-7285. Before we get to Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated, Paul's been patiently holding on in Alabama, talking about intriguing matchups. Paul, give me one real quick. What do you got for us?
Auburn's already got Penn State on their schedule this year. That's intriguing. That's almost like a bowl matchup. And if I think correctly, last time Auburn played Penn State in a rainstorm and Auburn lost. But one of my intriguing matchups may be Auburn, Texas. When's the last time Auburn's played Texas? Maybe the last time I remember. Bo Jackson was playing.
I was going to say, so you're talking mid-80s. I mean, it would be a fascinating matchup, especially now with the Sarkisian angle as him being the head coach over there. That would be – it'd be a hell of a uniform matchup. There's no doubt about that. Paul, thank you for the phone call. 855-242-PAUL is the number. That's where we find Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, one of my good friends. Deli, what in the hell do we make of Mark Emmert's comments yesterday in his little 30-minute phoner with selected media members? Where did it kind of just seem like the NCAA is just throwing their arms up in the air and be like, nah, fam, we're good. Like, I don't know what to do here.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Yeah. For, I guess you could describe it as that. You know, from a lot of college administrators around the country, I think the statements were kind of met with a collective eye roll. I think what Mark Emmert is doing is just getting ahead of I guess, everybody else. This has been something brewing for a while, and honestly, I think that this coming week, a lot of commissioners were planning on speaking about this topic at their individual media days. And I think maybe Mark Emmert knew that, or he at least felt the rumblings of this. But look, I mean, this has been coming for a while, and I think he was just trying to get ahead of it. And he decided to do it in an odd way by selecting only three media outlets to have a call with and ostracize other media outlets. I'm telling you, Mark.
Were you
sure
shocked,
Deli?
Were you on that call?
No. I was not on the call. And obviously, and you know this, I've written extensively about name, image, and likeness and all this other NCAA stuff going on for months now, and have requested multiple times to speak to Mark Emmert, and that request has been denied each time. But so I know I was not on the call, and again, I just think it was a way for him to get ahead of the story, so to speak. But look, he's lost this battle long ago. I mean, the conference commissioners, they're kind of running the show, and this is something they are planning to talk about, and the movement is there. It's been there. The rumblings have been there that a governance structure change is coming.
Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. And again, it also comes across as I'm going to break up with you before you break up with me, even though I know you've already moved my stuff outside the house kind of set up. But, I mean, I guess, Emmert has his opportunity to do that. With that being said, there was fancy words being used, and I'm not as smart as you, Deli, where you said, a change in governance. In layman's terms, what does that mean to the sport that I think that we all love here in the Paul Feinbaum Show, college football?
Yeah, so right now the way the NCAA governance is structured, and the there are policy-making committees and boards that basically make the rules, and those boards and committees are made up of athletic directors, conference office members, assistant athletic directors, maybe sprinkled in some athlete representatives, and from across schools, across the Division I, which is 350 schools, and they all make rules on these committees and these boards for all of them, all 350 plus, to operate under. And that's been a problem for a while now. You have schools that with budgets of $150 million. Making rules and operating under rules that, as well as a same school operating under the similar rules that have a $5 million budget or $15 million budget, athletic budget. That's one problem with this, and I think that's one change you'll see. Now the Power Five have some autonomy. powers in some legislation, some rules, but they want more. I think you're going to see them have more, and so that's kind of how things are structured. And I think what you're going to see is conferences just start creating more of their own rules instead of under a big umbrella of rules, because you just have so many differences across the board in D1, geographic differences from schools, financial differences, just interest in general. And so I think you'll see a shift. That's when he says, a governance change, structure change, I think that's what he's meaning. And that's what, again, the rumblings have been for a while, that you'll see more autonomy given to the Power Five conferences and just more power and authority given to each conference to kind of make his own rules, which we've seen the last year that's been the case anyhow.
I was going to say they were already doing it. In Delhi, so if I'm talking, if you and I are having a bourbon neat 5 years from now, is it more likely that we're talking about, hey, every conference is on its own with its own rules, or there is this new fandangled football federation that covers, Power Five plus a couple of Group of Five conferences, kind of, Power Football Federation type deal?
Yeah. I'm working on a story, even before Emirates' statement yesterday. I've been working on a story for the last few weeks that will drop Monday about this exact subject. Like I said, rumblings have been coming for a while now, and so this is something I've been working on, and that's a big part of the story is, well, what is the new model? You remember in the fall, the Knight Commission came out with a proposal for two potential NCAA models, new models. And one of them is, as you mentioned there, like the FBS splits away from the NCAA. So everything else stays, every other sport stays under NCAA control and the umbrella and the governance, but FBS has its own governing bodies. So that's one suggestion. Another suggestion is the Power Five takes all of its sports, right, and splits off. Or maybe the FBS takes all of its sports and splits off. I don't know that it's going to be one of those two things, certainly not immediately. This is probably going to be a slow phase. And so, like you mentioned, in 5 years, I mean, maybe it's going to be one of those things in 5 years, but for me, I think it's more of a slow progress there. And at the beginning, you just have the Power Fives given more authority to do some things. It may be football in some way is split off into like its own governing committees and boards. But I do think you're still going to have an NCAA umbrella because you have to have somebody running championships. And I think the NCAA is still going to do that. You're just going to have a little more authority to the conferences, at the start of this. But it's a slow process to probably an end that might be, splitting off the Power Five or splitting off FBS, maybe in 8 years or 10 years.
It is fascinating. And again, it is so in the weeds for so many different people, but it's going to be at the core and the crux of what we do and cover for our sports going forward. Last question for you. And I asked this to Tony Barnhart. Out of all the 14 coaches that'll be there, over on Monday or out this week for SEC Media Days, and you can give truth serum to just one coach, okay? He can't dodge any question, can't give you cliche coach speak. He has to answer every single question 100% truthful. Which one you giving truth serum to?
I'm trying to think of the one. I tell you what, it would be fun. Some of them, first of all, you don't need to give them truth serum.
That's true.
Some of them are pretty open books. They are. But one of them that, even though he can be an open book, but I would still like to give him truth serum because you might find out some really interesting things would be Lane Kiffin. He probably has some of the most interesting stories, specifically related to his time at Alabama. I think that would be a good truth serum one. And speaking of Alabama, I mean, giving truth serum to Nick Saban would certainly be entertaining, probably.
I don't know if the book will ever be written in the full autobiography that Nick will have, or I can't imagine anybody's going to ghostwrite it for him. That would be an absolute must. We're looking forward to it on Monday. Always great stuff. We appreciate the time, bud.
All right, Peter. See you.
There it is. Ross Dellinger joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. It's just kind of intriguing, right? I mean, basically Mark Emmert and NCAA is saying, listen, it's gotten to this point. The Supreme Court slapped us around enough to where we can't get involved. And if we do, guess what? Basically, the court has shown its hand saying that if we even interfere at all any longer with putting guardrails on any of this, they'll come out and more and more people will sue us. And then if it goes up to the court, guess what the court's going to rule? Not for us. And so therefore, NCAA is like, I can't deal with it. Now, again, it does make sense for other sports, non-revenue sports. Everybody thinks that NCAA is this big, bad boogeyman that does the wrong thing. I would tell you this. It's like everything in society. 95% of the people of the NCAA are great people, right? The problem is the NCAA has grown into such a behemoth, it's almost impossible to have the same rules for Bryce Young, the quarterback at Alabama, than it is Peter Burns, the collegiate golfer at University of Texas San Antonio, okay? Those are two completely different worlds for a bevy of different reasons, but it's just grown. And when there wasn't revenue attached, and not just kind of thousands, but hundreds of thousands or millions, but almost billions of dollars attached, when there wasn't really money involved in all of it, it was easy. Hey, here are the rules. Here are the sports. This is what's fair. We're going to set up the championships. Let's go. But as money got a bigger part of it, it became more complex. And now the unfortunate part for the NCAA is that pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. And they've moved from the part of being the pig to a bit of the hog. And now they got to figure out what that future is for that organization. More of your phone calls coming up. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. That's 855-242-7285. And here's your prompt, all right, Feinbaum callers. If I can give truth serum to one of the coaches next week, right, I just kind of drop it in their drink right before they get to the podium. Who do you want really telling the truth about their team next week? Your call's next. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Peter Burns filling in for Paul Feinbaum. That's where Paul Feinbaum's at. I think he has been backstage hanging out. Is this Luke Bryan? Is that what this is? Jake, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, this is Luke Bryan indeed.
What do you think? Him, Feinbaum, kind of a roadie for him? Just, can you imagine? What band do you think Paul Feinbaum would be a roadie for? That you think that he'd be like, I'm not missing a single concert. I don't think Luke Bryan's on that list.
Feinbaum is right now? He's in Hartford, Connecticut for the Luke Bryan concert tonight.
You think he is? That's how he rolls?
I don't want to disclose information, but like, it's possible.
That would be great. I think he's more of a John Tesh guy, right? I don't know if Yanni. Hey, I don't even know if Yanni is still alive. I should probably Google that before I bring it up. I don't know if he does concerts. I think Tesh might probably still does. I'm not quite sure. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. You can give us a holler there. That's 855-242-7285. Hit me up on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. Ben, talking a little bit about what's going on with SEC Media Days. And again, I asked the question, if you give truth serum to any one coach, who do you think you're going to learn the most from? And I think Eli Drinkwitz is fantastic over at Missouri. I think that he's got a ton of personality. The more people get an opportunity to meet him and listen to him, I think you're going to come away impressed. And I think that, I had Saban, who's on the top of my list, just because I've got so many questions to ask him about how name, image, and likeness is going to work out, right? Immediate eligibility in the conference. How does he like that? The vaccine and how is he handling that with his players? I mean, so many questions. And Coach Saban, I think that's the reason why if we ever had kind of a quote-unquote commissioner of sports, kind of like a czar of college football, Saban would be a natural at it. Because I think that when he talks, he's like E.F. Hutton. When he talks, people listen. And, he's earned that respect as one of the greatest of all time. And, I would be really intrigued, too, about Brian Harsin. I think a lot of Auburn fans are still trying to figure out who Brian Harsin is. I mean, they know he's the coach at Boise State. But what does he mean? Like, what is he going to bring? And I got a feeling that that's going to be one of the big stars coming out of next week's media days, is when people, and I've listened to a lot of his stuff, a lot of his talks, tried to consume as much. Every time I've listened to him, I came away blown away with what he had to say. And I think he brings that same passion to Hoover at Media Days. All right, we got Gene Chizik's going to join us in 15 minutes. Your phone calls will open up at the top of the hour coming up next. 855-242-PAUL. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum.